This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 15 of your home for everything modern day wrestling, good, or in the case of the mood I'm in, bad, modern day wrestling. We are a quarter of the way to 60 and a little over a tenth away from the first C-note. I don't get to say that as much now on Place to Be Podcast. I am your host, Scott Criscolo. We have a fun show. We're going to have a lot of anger and vitriol. I don't know as much as Dylan. I don't know if I'll be as angry as I might be as angry as Dylan on the Battleground reaction podcast, because I'm pretty vile right now. We'll talk about that in the first segment. Before we begin, though, let me bring in three of the core four, and then a great special guest replacing Jordan Duncan, who I think isn't he like tending sheep on the Ark or something tonight? I don't know. He's doing something of that nature. Anyway, let's go through the core three. We'll begin with the Bengal of the Bayou, who I watched a show he was at today to get me ready. To get me in a bad mood for my rant tonight. He is a Place to Be Nation collaborator and contributor. He does everything. College hoops around the corner. Not for a while. College football comes first. But he'll write anything and everything. Mr. Andrew Reich.
Oh, please don't tell me you watched Slamboree 96.
No. No. Body. I didn't get mad over the lack of quality. I got over. You were at Slamboree. Oh, yeah, you were at Slamboree 90. No. Something slightly better with a lot more people. In fact, there's two other people tonight that were at the show that I watched today that are on the air tonight. Let me bring on the guy who was not there, but he's still one of my favorite people, Place to Be Nation contributor to the Weekly High Spot and some other great pieces on PlaceToBeNation.com. He is our moral compass, Mr. Steve Willie.
I will try to be the pillar of positivity tonight. I will be the happy man of the Jervis cotton belly to your heiress.
I don't know, Steve. Even mentioning Jervis is not turning my frown upside down. But you're always great, and thank you for being on tonight, as always. The other member of the Core 4 that is with us tonight is my favorite person on the planet. He seems to not be on as much as he usually is, though. He missed our last episode. He's going to miss our next episode, so maybe he's not my favorite person. Maybe I'm not his favorite person. Anyway, great contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com and, of course, the purveyor of Marvel.com. I wish I could say he didn't join us because he was in San Diego. Instead, he was raking leaves and mowing the lawn. Mr. Benjamin Morse.
Bad news, Criscolo. Trying to bring me down. Of course, you're one of my favorite people on the planet. Right. It's been a tumultuous last few weeks. I was moving. I'm here. I'm in my new abode. I am in my nice third floor finished attic, which I have specifically set up an area just for me to do this podcast. Ugh. And I'm excited to be here. I do feel like I haven't been on in ages. It's great to be back with the crew. I miss Shepherd Duncan, but I know, you know, he has with that big storm coming with the flood. He has a lot of work to
That's
do.
That's what he's doing. He's actually building the ark tonight. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. You know, finding two of everything. I know he's already got two Usos, but he really doesn't want to bring along two Bellas. So it's going to be very complicated. Just excited to be back.
So I know, Ben, the first picture you put up in your main event man cave,
yes,
is of your favorite person on the planet, Andrew Reich.
I have a great picture of me and Andrew with him trying to strangle me.
Is that when he stole your hammock and took the dog, Reich? Are you going to let that go?
That was actually during the Undertaker's entrance. That's how boring it was.
Oh boy!
All right.
But that show we were at, you're talking about Royal Rumble 03. I already know you watched that.
Mr. Reich was not at that show. Matt Rotella was on that show.
And usually I was there.
And usually anything he's at usually brings some hate. So, Ben, pleasure as always. And finally, replacing Shepherd Duncan this evening, another one of my favorite people. He joined me for Extra Point with Dr. G a couple shows ago. He is one of the core four of PlaceToBeNation.com. He is a founding father and one of my favorite people. From the South. I got to give him a nickname. Bengal the Bayou, something Braves. I don't know. Mr. Chad Campbell. Chad, welcome to the main event.
Hey, yeah, I've been helping out with Place to Be and the family of podcasts for about a year and a half now, and finally made my first main event. So.
That's it. You finally made. You finally.
It's like when Savio Vega got in there in No Way Out 98.
No Way Out 98. Yeah, I'm the
paying your dues, brother. Paying your
mystery
dues.
Guest. Yeah.
Well, you know, if he did pay, he actually skipped the dues paying on Wednesday nights, Ben, because he's not on that other show down the hall. You know, in the smaller room.
Right.
The room that's much smaller than your attic.
Studio D.
Studio D. Guys, it's a pleasure as always. Tonight on episode 15, in segment two, I'm not sure if I'm going to do it. I'm actually kind of wavering. I mentioned it on the Place to Be podcast last night while Mr. Rosero and I were doing the 2003 Royal Rumble. But I may change that up because there's a lot of news stories I want to talk about in segment two. So we'll see. But segment one, so here in the beginning here, I was actually in a pretty good mood. I'm always in a good mood when I talk to you guys. But usually I let you guys pitch the vitriol. But I am particularly rankled because after watching Raw Monday night, and then today when I was at work and I was doing some, you know, just doing my normal paperwork, I usually have something on in the background, whether it's Hulu or the network. Incidentally, speaking of the network, Ben, I watched Clash of the Champions 11 today. That show sucks.
I'm behind you, man.
Yeah.
Because, again, the moving thing screwed me because I watched
You and I were even.
I know. We were at Clash 8 at the same time, but then you pulled ahead.
I did because
you can watch at work, and I can't.
Yeah. I listened to
give me time
back.
To catch up. Watch some AWA or something.
Chad. Which one is Clash 11?
Clash 11 sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Clash 11 is Flair and JYD.
They only get worse, too.
Yeah, I know they do. The only good thing in that, you know what actually was not a bad match on that show, on that card was Arn and Orndorff was actually not a bad match.
Yeah, I did like that.
That wasn't bad.
Orndorff is a dude with attitude.
He really is. But you know, he must have already injured his arm because you can already see his right arm is looking a little, he's already looking misshapen. And this is only in 1990. He really looks bad. What is it, 95, I guess, is when that arm kind of looks like a twig.
Yeah.
So, but it's already looking a little different. But anyway, I was not watching that today. But I also, later on in the day, I just wanted something in the background, so I put on WrestleMania 30. Again, three of you four were there, Ben, Chad, Reesh. Mm. And I got up to Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, which still turns my stomach watching that match. And I thought to myself, you know, this SummerSlam build, which of course culminates a week from this Sunday from the Staples Center in Los Angeles, and SummerSlam means the world to me. It was my first pay-per-view I bought with my own money, SummerSlam 89. And I've always had a soft spot. It's always been my favorite pay-per-view, even more than WrestleMania. And this WrestleMania build sucks. And for many reasons, I am so angry. And watching, for some reason, the combination of Raw Monday night and watching WrestleMania 30 today made me realize why I'm so goddamn angry. And I'm going to be on a... Mr. Willie, I have to apologize. If you have a bleep button, your kids may not want to listen to this one because I'm already going to give you the premise I'm holding nothing back. So if any Fs and Ss slip, I sincerely apologize. But if I get on that mode, it's hard to turn around on the highway.
Yeah, I don't let my kids listen anymore. They don't need this kind of potty talk around here.
You know what? It's not talking me off the ledge, Steve, but it may be talking me from strangling somebody. Someone else may pay the price. So maybe after the show, when we continue to build the compilation for our After the Mic Goes Off DVD for Place to Be Nation podcast, which mostly is Roger Morissette yelling at people in his house. No. So here's your bowl of milk. No. I love you, Roger. All right. I've never been the biggest Brock Lesnar fan, even back in the first 2 years, 02 through 04. And I know we're in the middle of that now. Justin and I are with our vaults. I think he's the modern day Lex Luger. He's got a lot of business acumen. He's got a hell of a physique and he's got zilch in the guts department for the business of professional wrestling. What's crazy is the day of WrestleMania 30, when we were sitting at Boneheads, and Brock Lesnar broke the streak, which I still think is heresy. Kayfabe or not, I still think it's heresy. I was the one who was talking Dr. G down from picking up the stool he was sitting on, throwing it through the friggin' TV. He was so pissed. I was calming him down. As time has progressed, and we didn't see the dumb meathead, I started to get a little rankled. Then, while the morale in this company is already paper thin to begin with, He's put into the main event at SummerSlam for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against John Cena. When you've got a myriad of guys backstage that you can elevate in any capacity, and it isn't going to hurt either buy rates or network subscriptions. And all you've done now is really piss everybody off, because this guy's an asshole. He'll walk around that backstage, as great as Paul Heyman is, and his DVD came out this week, and my buddy already watched it, and it might be the best documentary they ever did. Top five. The attitude backstage is, well, why are we even trying? You bring this guy in, he works freaking 5 days a year for three times what we make. He walks around like his shit doesn't stink. And he's not going to help the buy rate. He's not going to help the network subscriptions next Sunday. And he's just making everybody miserable. And it just makes me so angry that we have to rely on a guy who doesn't give two shits about anybody in that company or the watermark that his big fat check is getting him. And because of the fact the guy can't show up for a friggin' Raw to pump this damn thing up, we've had to deal with back-to-back Raws where the go-home segment of the show is Stephanie and Brie, which is like fourth on the card. It's nauseating. And it just really angered me today that I was fine with him coming back for the shot with Cena in 2012. Nobody cared. Even the three matches with Triple H, as okay as they were, I was fine with that. But for some reason, him of all people getting to break the streak, then being inserted in a slot that really needs to go to somebody that's busted their ass in this company to boost some kind of morale, which is already in the toilet, is just deplorable. And this is why everybody's pissed off at them. Thank God that TNA is in whatever limbo it's in. Otherwise, I'm not saying WWE will go out of business. That's never going to happen. But things would be a lot worse. The stock has actually leveled out a little bit. But if you're a fan, now I'm not like that guy that sits in the highest bleacher yelling, "It's still real to me, damn it." Obviously, I'm not doing that. But this is even, and then John Cena is cutting these promos where he's saying, "Oh, you're a mercenary." And the reason they're saying that is because they want to justify that that's what Brock Lesnar is, so people like me who are bitching about it can go, "Well, I guess that's what the whole point of the storyline is." I'm not falling for that. That's why John Cena, that's why they're having him cut those promos, so we all aren't thinking the way I'm thinking, which is this is a bunch of bullshit. I also think Cena's going to win the match, to be honest with you. Because what's going to happen? Is Brock Lesnar really going to show up at Night of Champions? No. There's been no discussion about his contract being adjusted. We'd know about it if it was. I'm sure Meltzer would crawl under some conference table to find that out. And we know that hasn't happened. So he's not going to win the title on next Sunday anyway. So why piss off a roster that's already kind of skittish to begin with to bring in this gutless, soulless meathead who can walk around with that smirk, which is completely legit? That's no storyline smirk. That's the "fuck you, I'm the tits" look. While Heyman is carrying him. And we spent the last 2 weeks of Raw having Brie and Stephanie shoved down our throats because the two guys that are in the main event are not even there. I'll give Cena the benefit of the doubt, because if you have to shoot something, you have to shoot something. Although, not that I know anything about the movies, but maybe Ben, you would know a little more than me. You'd think if, you know, Cena's in a high-profile feud, they can hold his scenes till, you know, September. But I'm just so livid that the best solution they have to fix the lack of Daniel Bryan is bring this guy back who really doesn't give a shit. It just really bugs me. I think it's the integrity of the business at a time right now where the roster is a little skittish. Network buys are still not exactly where they are, although next Tuesday, right, is when they open up to a bunch of other countries. So maybe that'll help. Then that Rogers Net deal kicks in too. Maybe I sound a little too, maybe I'm going a little overboard, but considering we're in a very tentative, fragile time in the company, you would think that you'd want to bring in a guy who actually has busted his tail somewhere in this company and put him in a slot with John Cena at SummerSlam. Because at least he'll be there on these Raws. Because Paul Heyman, as great as he is only going to go so far. You need the guy there. Enough's enough now with this like fake. Let's just run this. As good as that promo piece they played Monday night was, playing it three times on a Raw is not good enough. So that's my. It's been on my mind for the last like 5 hours, and I'm finally got able to let it rip. Now I'm going to go around the horn. Agree or disagree? Am I off base? Am I right? Am I getting too angry? I probably am too angry, but that's the point of a great show. Chad, since you're the newbie tonight, I'll start with you. Am I taking this too seriously? Am I wrong? Am I right? What are your thoughts on this whole scenario?
Well, I think you're getting too angry, but I mean, I understand what you're coming from. Like, it's tough to see somebody like Brock who has this deal that's put in this position, but my rationale is they screwed up his booking when he came in. The match versus John Cena from Extreme Rules 2012 is one of my favorite WWE matches ever, really. And but he shouldn't have lost that match. So that got it off to a bad start. Then he splits a feud with Triple H. You know, they have three matches. He ends up winning 2-1. But that's three matches right there that's wasted on somebody that's obviously not going to be elevated. You're not going to elevate Triple H at this point. So the first 2 years of Brock was pretty poor. I think they were onto something with his dismantling of the Big Show at the Rumble. That was fine. The streak, I still am back and forth on what happened, but I actually like that Brock was the one to break the streak if the streak was going to be broken. So now you're kind of put in this position where you have this guy that just broke the most sacred thing that the WWE has. It's more, the streak's way more important than any championship at this point, or it was at least going in. So Brock is that guy, so it's only natural that he would have to challenge for the championship. And quite frankly, I don't know any other options they could have had in this match that would have worked out. I mean maybe Reigns, maybe Ambrose or somebody of that ilk, but that seems like maybe a little bit too soon, too fast. Possibly if they'd have kept building him up like he was at the first of the year, you could have maybe had Cesaro in this spot based on the great Raw match that Cena and Cesaro had. That I think that'd be a great SummerSlam main event. But I kind of feel like they're behind the eight ball. They had to go with Brock, and I actually do see him winning, and I don't know where they go from there, but that's kind of where they're at, and their hands are tied, so they're rolling with it.
Okay. Willie?
Do you have any sharp objects around right now?
I have a pen.
Oh.
I'm going to throw it on the floor.
Okay.
There, I just bounced. I have nothing in front of me but my mic, my mouse, the keyboard. I'm okay. Chad's smoky southern voice has soothed me. So, go ahead. I'm all right. I'm still angry, but I'm not violent. But go ahead.
I'm with Chad here. I think it's more, I don't fault Brock for any of this. I mean, I kind of said the same thing about Punk a few episodes back. He's living the American dream. He negotiated a perfect contract. It's not his fault that they screwed it up. If, you know, any of us sitting here were offered the money he was to sit at home and work out for 5 months, I think we'd all do it. So in terms of the booking of the match, they booked themselves into a corner, and this is the way they have to get out of it. I'm not mad at Cena for it. I'm kind of excited about the match because of their past history. I like seeing Brock once in a while come around and throw people around. I don't think it's heresy with the streak, although, you know, Undertaker was the one supposedly who handpicked Brock Lesnar. I don't think it was the best choice. I always think it's better to build something up, somebody up with something like that. But here we are, and I think it's going to be a great match that we're. So I think you need to perk up a little bit, little chipper.
I don't blame Cena either. I honestly wouldn't have offered Brock Lesnar anything. I would have just kept him away, to be honest with you. I just think he's a. Just not my thing. I just don't think it was the right solution. If you were going to offer him that kind of deal, you should have just had him lose to Cena, beat Triple H, lose to Triple H, and go away. That's what I would have done.
Or yeah, throw him some more money if you think he's that valuable and spread him out better over the dates that you have.
Yeah.
But they panic so much, and now they're paying for it.
Yep.
I did like the video that they had. You know, I didn't really hear any. I haven't really talked to anybody who watched Raw, but I did like that build up. Lesnar.
I agree, Steve. I'm not saying the video was awful. I'm just upset that we have to have a video at all.
Sure.
And instead of the two guys there.
So if Daniel Bryan did not get injured and he was in the place of John Cena, would that have changed your view any?
I have something to say about that.
I'll get to you in a minute, Rich. Because I know you have something to say. No, I still wouldn't have used Brock. I still wouldn't have used him. Unless you had Daniel Bryan beating him. I'm just scared that if Brock Lesnar wins the world title, that what? We're going to have 8 months of Paul Heyman promos until San Francisco? Like, what the hell is he going to do? They're not going to restructure him. He's not going to work more. I just don't trust him. That's just that's my problem. But you guys have good points so far. Reesh, go ahead.
Well, if it was Chad and Steve's job to calm you down, soothe you over, then I'm going to be the little devil on your shoulder that tells you need to be angry, because I think you're preaching to the choir there with Brock. The moment I saw this happen, I knew that it was just going to be a bad idea, because I knew that the end game there was that Brock was going to wind up winning the title and he was going to hold it until WrestleMania after he broke the streak, because I felt like Vince had this in his brain the moment that that Brock broke the streak, because what do you do with Brock Lesnar after he defeats The Undertaker at WrestleMania? Everything that you do after that feels less if it's not involving the WWE Championship. Do you feud him with, you know, Daniel Bryan without the belt? Do you feud him with Triple H again? Do you feud him with Randy Orton? Everything seems kind of substandard according to Vince. So Vince convinced himself that going forward after WrestleMania 30, everything that Brock does has to be either for the title or something of very, very high substance. And I think, like I think everybody has said, I think they booked themselves into a little bit of a corner. Where I disagree is that I think that regardless of who was the champion going into SummerSlam, be it Daniel Bryan, be it Roman Reigns, John Cena, I think there was an inevitable fate that Brock Lesnar was going to win the championship at SummerSlam, and that they had this game plan the entire time after WrestleMania 30, that he's going to win the belt, and he's going to basically, like John Cena said, be a hired gun where he holds up the belt and he fights on his own terms. And now this is a situation where things can get really, really tricky, because now you're going into the fall with a part-time wrestler who doesn't appear at basically the minimum amount of Raw dates. So you're going to have a lot of these Raws where the final segment or the final quarter hour of the show has nothing to do with the WWE champion, because he is not fucking there. And I think that's a bad idea. I got into a healthy argument with this about somebody else, and one of his counterpoints was, well, if Brock wins the championship, isn't that a more memorable reign than if, say, Randy Orton or John Cena get another crack at it? And my problem with that are we really at a point where the WWE championship makes something that much more memorable in 2014? I would say no. So what's the difference between Brock Lesnar winning the championship and holding it as a big major villain on a part-time basis than it would be if Brock Lesnar was just a superstar who shows up and beats the shit out of somebody and goes away, and we can actually have a champion that's there every week on Raw? I think it's a bad idea. I don't have a problem with the match itself, because it's a worthy main event that can be heavily promoted, but I do not like the idea of Brock Lesnar being a long-term champion going forward.
Benjamin.
All right. Let me come at this from a little bit of a different perspective. First point, Scott, I respect the passion you spoke with, and I can't really disagree with any of your points, because I think you feel strongly about them, you articulated them well, and I think you're right. I think as a wrestling fan, as someone who respects the business, you have every right to feel that way about Brock, to feel that way about the streak, to feel that way about everything's being booked. You can't argue against that. You can't argue against passion. in my opinion. My counter to that, though, is that my personal feeling, which doesn't overrule any of your feelings, is I do think Brock's been worth it. And I do think they've screwed him up, like everyone has already said. I think he should have beat Cena. I think he should have been built up as more of a threat so someone could knock him down. The problem with someone like Brock is, you know, classic booking. You bring in the big monster and you build him up so that when someone beats him, it means something. And they screwed that up out the gate when Cena beat him the first match back. He could have had a lot more value. Putting that aside, I think he's a guy who every time he comes back, no matter what he did the previous time, whether he lost to Triple H, whether he lost to Cena, whether he just beat up on the Big Show, the crowds and the viewers always buy this guy as a threat, and they always will. And that is saying nothing of his personal character. From every indication, he's not a nice guy, and he's not someone who has any respect for the business. But at the end of the day, it's not about the nicest guy winning, unfortunately. It's about, you know, what Triple H says. It's about what's best for business. And if you're looking at the WWE right now, and this is the approach I'm coming from, we've spoken a lot here on this show about how the roster is loaded with young guys who are on the cusp but who aren't there yet. Mm-hmm. We need to graduate this class of would-be main eventers into main eventers. And a lot of them are popular guys. And a big problem right now, we've said, is there are not a lot of credible people to put them over. You've got John Cena on the babyface side. Beating John Cena still means something. That's about it. Beating Randy Orton doesn't mean a lot. Beating Kane doesn't mean a lot. Beating Brock Lesnar? All right, now you're getting on to something. Because you go back to the streak. The reason I liked Brock Lesnar beating the streak was, to me, if you're going to end the streak, and I think it made for a memorable moment, and I would have been fine if it had never ended, but if it's going to end, I think it had to be Brock. If it had been a young guy, if it had been a Roman Reigns, if it had been a Wade Barrett, anyone, that albatross around their neck would have been impossible. They would have tried to push him to the moon. The push failed. Every other thing we've seen where, you know, it's the stop-start push, all you would have had was, in a year, Michael Cole constantly mentioning, remember, this is the guy who beat the streak, but you're never going to keep him that special. Brock is already Brock. He is always going to be viewed as special. He is always going to be viewed as dangerous. Beating the streak did not give him some sort of anchor he had to carry around. It just enhanced him. And it made him someone who, whoever eventually beats Brock next, it's going to mean something. Basically, they reset what they did 2 years ago when they had Cena beat him. Now he is back to being this unstoppable monster. Okay, so say Brock does take the title, which personally, I think he's going to. And not only that, counterpoint to Rish, I hope he does. Because right now, the title, like you said, in 2014, the title doesn't mean as much as it once did. The idea of a guy who represents, just look at the emotion he got out of you, Scott, a guy who represents everything wrestling fans hate, taking our holy grail, taking our coat of arms, and just taking it away from us. That is a storyline that inspires passion. It's going to get people angry. And the idea of guys like, whether they're John Cena, whether it's Randy Orton, Cesaro, Roman Reigns, them going after trying to bring this title back to WWE, that is a far more intriguing storyline to me than anything I have seen in the last little bit. If Brock Lesnar is going to hold it for 8 months and he's only going to show up a few times, and that just keeps pissing people off, that just keeps pissing fans off, and it gets guys to cut promos like the one John Cena cut because they legitimately, like you said, hate this guy. There is legitimate disdain for this guy who's coming in and working 5 days a week and taking the title away from him. You know what? Good. Let's take that to the bank. That's a money feud. That's a money storyline. And whoever eventually beats Brock Lesnar, I keep coming back to it, whether it's Roman Reigns, whether it's Cesaro, it's going to mean something, and you're going to be able to build a new babyface, a new main eventer, a new face of the company. And guys, we need that right now.
Because, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, finish your point, Ben.
No, it's just bringing it around. We need that right now. We need these guys pushed to the next level, and I think this is a way to do it.
I think right now the way the company – yes, your points are excellent. In fact, all four of you guys – made exemplary debate, and I appreciate that. The way that the tenor of the company is at the moment, I think right now, and I look, I love Roman Reigns. He's not going to be ready by WrestleMania. Right now, there's only one guy on this roster that if this storyline gets, if this is the way, if Ben, if you paint it the way that it's going to be, that we're going to sit here and I'm going to be ripping pissed for the next, you know, from now till whenever the hell 31 is, April 8th or whatever the hell it is. If that's the way it's going to be written, there's only one guy that will suffice anybody to walk into Levi Stadium and beat him, and that's Daniel Bryan.
And wouldn't that be a hell of a story?
Hell yeah.
If that's how it ends. If they do it. I mean, I do think the original plan was for Daniel Bryan to be the guy wrestling Brock at SummerSlam, and obviously I think we all would have preferred that.
Ideally, but hey, there's one guy that's, it's not going to happen, obviously. There's one guy slightly above Daniel Bryan on the list.
I think I know where you're going.
That would be even better, but that's not going to happen. And of course, I'm talking about CM Punk, but that's not going to happen. He's done.
There's one more, and it's the one that I don't want to see, and that's The Rock.
Nah, ain't going to happen. Nah, he's done.
Rock and Brock at 31.
Nah, that's not going to happen. Brock's not going to stay.
A part-timer versus a part-timer.
Another guy's not going to stay.
Championship.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's not going to happen, Rich. I don't think we're going to have to worry about that. I think Rock had his little two-year thing, 30, 20, or three. I guess you can count three manias, 27, 28, 29. He's done.
But no Ben makes a great point. The timing's perfect for Brian because he'd be back from the neck operations, and he would be on the comeback trail to try to challenge Brock.
And you've got...
He never lost.
And most of us will likely be there if we don't see hide nor hair of him and you don't hear about him or anything, and then we get to number 28 in late January at Wells Fargo in Philly, and you hear that Pride of the Valkyrie. Is it Pride of the Valkyries?
Pride.
It is Pride. Okay.
No, Ride.
Ride of the Valkyries. Thank you.
Ride of the Valkyries.
I always forget whether it's Ride or Pride. Ride of the Valkyries. That place is going to go ape shit. And he wins the Rumble, and then it begins. And Brock, I can settle into the whole, because then you've got the guy and the storyline that's been going on since August of 2013. And we're going to get to late March, early April of 2015 between Daniel Bryan and
The Authority.
And it culminates with him and all these crazy Niners fans seeing Brock Lesnar tap out to the Yes Lock. That's what's got to happen. Nobody gave a shit about Batista. It wasn't about this past year's WrestleMania wasn't about who tapped out. It was the fact there was a tap out at all. This time around, If your theory is correct, Ben and Chad and Steve, I know Willie, I know Reese, you're on my side, but if you guys are right, that's the only viable ending that'll work. I don't think Roman Reigns is ready. We've seen solo, we've seen singles matches. You can only beat Kane so many times. He's gonna beat Randy Orton, but Randy Orton's too busy making fun of chubby fans. Another piece of trash. And there's just so much trash on this roster now, too. You know, there's
a lot of clutter.
I know we went through the roster a few shows ago. I'm just so disappointed by it. Let's talk about Cesaro for a second. Let's switch gears off the main event for a minute. Was he with Paul Heyman at all? What did Paul Heyman bring to him? Nothing. Really nothing. He was losing matches anyway. So I don't get it. I feel like honestly, the writing team in the WWE right now is like a fifth grade Catholic school class or public school.
It's like a tank full of manatees.
It is. Everybody's got the attention span of an 11-year-old, and we can only do one thing at a time. So we can't focus on Cesaro right now because we got to deal with Cena, Brock, the belts, Brian's hurt. We can only do the main events right now. Let the mid-card kind of run around like ants on an anthill. And we'll get to them later. Cesaro, go out and lose to R-Truth or something. I don't know. I got to write something for Brock. Is he here? Well, of course he's not. He won't be here for another 3 months, but I got to do something for him. That's what the problem is. Has Cesaro lost any value? And if he has, can he get it back? Chad.
Well, he certainly lost value. I mean, we see this sometimes where the guy breaks through, has this big kind of eye-opening experience, and that was the Battle Royal with Cesaro winning, and the introduction with Heyman the next night was tremendous, that segment. And then, you know, the next month, he pretty much extinguished Jack Swagger and won that feud definitively, and some people on the internet were like, well, it's time to push Cesaro to bigger and better things. And they weren't de-pushing Cesaro at that point in time. But between, I would say, May and where we're at now, something's happened and the bloom is off the rose where they're clearly higher on somebody like Rusev, just to throw another name out there, where now you do have Cesaro tapping out to the ankle lock and losing matches pretty regularly on TV. I mean, I think he certainly can regain it back. But this first kind of push that he got from WrestleMania 30 on, I think you can definitely classify as a failure. And I think it's time for him to move on from Heyman, because that's been a non-factor, them two together. It's been a waste of time.
I mean, it's like they just forgot, or they didn't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
They care more about how to make Damian Sandow look like a jackass than they do, you know, properly booking these mid-card guys to be elevated so they can be at the main event next Sunday instead of having to sign and rely on a guy who you don't even know if he even cares or what's going to happen the next day, if he's even going to be on Raw the next night. You know, what do you think, Ben?
I think with Cesaro, it was them freaking out because they weren't ready to turn him babyface. Like, the crowd clearly wanted to cheer the guy, and I don't know. I think you guys have talked about this before. I think you may have even talked about it in the last episode. Just like, the crowd likes a guy, let him like a guy. That's what was great back in the Attitude Era. If we cheered for someone, they turned babyface.
Yep.
With Cesaro, I think they were so ingrained, like, ooh, but we were going to turn him babyface in 3 months, so let's put him with Heyman. Heyman's a heel guy. People boo Heyman. And they didn't have any plans, and the only way that storyline was going to work is if he eventually feuded with Brock and eventually turned babyface. But I don't know. I think it's just something got lost along the way. I think the face turn was the promised land for Cesaro. He was a real American, not really going anywhere, but we knew once he turned face, it would be good. And then he stayed a heel, and now he's just kind of hanging around. Can he come back from it? Yeah, of course he can. He was yodeling a year and a half ago, and he's still got more over than ever after they dropped that. So
I forgot about that.
Yeah, dude, he'll come back. He'll be fine. But
they don't want him to do the swing anymore because it causes too many cheers.
Well, they said that, or supposedly that was reported online, but then he was doing the swing the next Raw, so I don't know how much I buy it.
Yeah, I don't buy that. Yeah.
Yeah, but the short answer is, it sucks, he's been mishandled, but he's really talented and really charismatic, and I think he'll be fine.
Okay. Willie?
He'll be fine. I think it was back on an old Kevin Kelly show that when you had him on recapping in years back, that he talked about how Vince always books the main event. They always are looking at the main event and looking out, and then they kind of fill everything else in, and it just becomes unimportant. And with their attention span, the middle stuff just kinds to tend to go away. So you either remember like the comedy stuff, like your Santino, like you had mentioned, Scott, the Damien Sandow, or the big things on top. And if you're not in those top couple matches, you're kind of just treading water pretty much. And this is not just the yodeling, this is the second or third failed, you know, kind of push up the ladder for Cesaro. His U.S. title run, he just kind of, he had the U.S. title and he was losing almost every single match.
I know, it was crazy.
That.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's so, he is just so charismatic. He has got such a great look and he's so good in the ring that he'll be a guy who will be easily pushed back up whenever they eventually decide to do it. I hope it just doesn't end up being like Dolph and it's going to be too, you know, just too late at some point where, you know, he's been going through this for how many years now? 3-4 years. And, you know, he's pointless now.
I still think he's fixable, though. I still think Dolph Ziggler's fixable. He got a hell of a pop at Battleground.
He always
going to win the IC title. I think he's fixable. You don't think so, Willie? You don't think he's fixable?
I just don't. I don't think they're ever going to. I just don't think they're ever going to, is quite to be frank about it. They're not going to.
That's the key difference, though, is what Steve's saying is, right? It's not that he's not fixable. It's that they're not going to fix him.
Well,
right,
that's a different way to put it.
His window is closed, essentially.
Yeah.
That sucks. You could blame, guess who? Jack Swagger, another clumsy oaf that still has a job. Reese, your thoughts on Cesaro?
I do want to mention something about Dolph, but I'll start with Cesaro, is that after WrestleMania, you had a lot of guys that were in that mid-card level that you could have pushed because the future was pretty bright and you had a lot of things that you could do. And I think what kind of happened to Cesaro is that even though he became a Paul Heyman guy, you know, like you were saying, the storyline didn't really go anywhere. It didn't really push Cesaro to that upper level. And I think what happened in a little ways is that in the mid-card on that tier, right there at the top, they decided that they were going to push the three individual members of the Shield and Bray Wyatt. And it just turned out that they just didn't have room at that time for Cesaro, and the way that they had handled him as a babyface and a heel with Heyman, and whether or not they wanted him to feed off the crowd or have the crowd dislike him. And I felt like the writers who were handling Cesaro kind of put themselves in a bad position where he was trying to do things that the crowd didn't want him to do, and it created this disconnect where he just kind of got lost in the shuffle because he wasn't getting the big push in the first place. Mm-hmm. So when Paul Heyman got put off of Cesaro back onto Brock when it's Brock time, you know, it turned Cesaro into just another guy. You do the extra point. You do a lot of sports, and they have a name for this in sports, in the standings, when you have a lot of like 500 teams and below 500. They call it the muddled middle. And that's what it feels like at the WWE. You got a lot of guys who are really talented. A lot of guys like Dolph and Alberto Del Rio have been around the block and have been in main event matches before. But it just feels like they're all walking in snow. They're not really going anywhere because either creative doesn't want them to, or they've just had a lot of bad luck happen their way. Cesaro, I think, overall will be fine because you watched him with the match with John Cena. I mean, he was perfect. I mean, the match was great, and he looked like he fit in perfectly in a main event match, blowing everybody away and having everybody buzz about how great he is. So I think in terms of long term, I think Cesaro's okay. What I want to mention with Dolph Ziggler is this. The thing with Dolph is that if he had gotten the push in the earlier years, the way a lot of other guys in his position did, like maybe about four years ago, this age for Dolph would be the position where he'd be like Randy Orton or John Cena became, where he would be in his prime, where he would be the man. Mm-hmm. He would be wrestling great matches in the main event every night, but that would have only happened if they believed in him 3 or 4 years ago, and that obviously didn't happen. So now we're in a position with Dolph where he's gotten a very slight push. Everybody knows how talented he is, but he will never, like they all said, he will never get to that upper class. He'll always just be good enough to get to like the third or fourth match of the show.
Can I build off what Reese was just saying, and
yeah,
also
go ahead,
tie it into a point I made earlier? Because this is, to me, I think Reese really articulated to me a bigger problem that feeds into, believe it or not, the Brock thing. And that's what I said earlier, is that who is left to make stars? A few years ago, we had, like not that long ago, you know, you had Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Batista, Ray, Edge, all these guys who, if you beat them, it meant something, and that could make you into a main eventer. You know, guys like Punk got elevated. Guys like Daniel Bryan got elevated. Guys like Jeff Hardy got elevated. And then you look at these guys now. You look at the Zigglers, the Del Rios, the guys who have been around for a few years, who have been former world champions, who at this point, Miz, who was in the main event of WrestleMania and beat John Cena. Kofi Kingston's a perennial mid-carder, so I'm not going to throw him in there. But some of these guys who have held world titles and who were main eventers, but just they never stuck with them. Is that a bigger problem now that guys like, you know, guys retired, guys went away, guys got hurt? These were the guys who were supposed to be putting people over. And on their way out, they didn't put over enough young guys. They feuded with each other. They kept putting John Cena and Randy Orton over. Like, how many wins did John Cena get over all the guys who I just talked about who are gone now? You know, Edge, Michaels, Triple H, all those guys. But you never took the time to let Dolph Ziggler beat Shawn Michaels. You never let Alberto Del Rio beat Chris Jericho in his prime. And now what you're left with is these guys who should now be sacrifice so you can build up Roman Reigns and Cesaro and Rusev and all these guys. A win over them doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. A win over The Miz doesn't mean anything. A win over Dolph Ziggler doesn't mean anything. And that's, you know, that's a major problem. And I think that's why we're backing back into, we got to get Brock back. We got to get Chris Jericho back. We got to get RVD back. These guys who really at this point, you know, we like to see them, but, you know, we don't want them there. The fact that they literally have to import Chris Jericho off of his friggin' Rock tour so someone can put Bray Wyatt over, that's an absurd situation.
Yeah, and that's Jericho easily has nothing left in the tank.
Right.
I mean, whether it's
very,
heat,
very little,
whether it's heat or now, he's still a fine worker, but no one gives a crap anymore.
Right.
Because, you know, you got to be missed. When you come back 7 months later and everyone knows why you're gone, it's because you're off singing something in New Zealand, then it's like, oh, whatever, Jericho's taking time from Fozzy. Oh, wins a few matches. All right, see you later. Bye. Yeah. Nobody cares anymore.
It's also like they brought Jericho back so many times for the specific thing that I just said. Like, they needed to put Punk over. They brought Jericho back. Mm-hmm. They tried to put friggin' Fandango over. They brought Jericho back. And now they've burned the Jericho card.
Yep.
So now they need to reach out and, you know, who they have left. Shawn Michaels is retired. Edge can never wrestle again. CM Punk doesn't want to come back. And, you know, you're left with guys who just get devalued even more.
Yeah. And the big stars you still have left, like RVD and Christian, are damaged goods.
Yeah, nobody cares about that. Yeah. RVD is in that Jericho Stewart. Yay, RVD, yeah.
Disclaimer.
That was cool in 2000.
Disclaimer, all those guys have had great careers, but they are damaged goods at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Excellent job so far, guys. Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion, and then I'll tell you what I originally wanted to do, but I think we're going to hold off on it. We're going to talk some more WWE product roster and news, because there's some interesting stuff that I've seen today that I want to get your guys' input on. This is episode 15, Place to Be Nation's main event. I am Scott Criscolo with Ben Morse, Steve Willey, Andrew Reich, special guest Chad Campbell. We'll be back after this. Anybody?
What?
Oh, because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's main event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's main event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Welcome back to episode 15 of Place to Be Nation's main event. I am Scott Criscullo. Three of the core four are here. Ben Morse, Steve Willey, Andrew Reich, and I thank fellow founding father with me and Mr. Rosero, Mr. Woodling, and that is Chad Campbell, who is sitting in for Shepherd Duncan tonight, who's letting sheep and goats, not two Daniel Bryans, but actual goats.
Russell Crowe can't do it by himself.
Into the arc, exactly.
Miss you, Jordan.
PlaceToBeNation.com.
That was contractually obligated.
Yeah, I guess so. And I didn't have to do it, thank God. All right. PlaceToBeNation.com, the one-stop for everything pop culture. Continuing to pimp the World Cup of TV Characters Tournament. Today, gentlemen, was day eight of the knockout round. And I'm pointing it out today because there's a couple of matchups that I have personal rooting for. Of course, I want my – and this one sucks because I love both characters, but right now my man Red Foreman is beating Benjamin Linus of Lost by 12 votes. So Ben Linus is not a dumbass.
If Stringer Bell's not in that list, it's not a valid list.
The other one I'm interested in –
he didn't make it to the knockout.
It's not a valid list.
The other one I'm interested in is – and right now for some reason not loading on my screen – is – George Jefferson and Mr. Belding.
Jefferson's down two right now.
Down two, yeah, so we still got a close ridiculous one. Day seven of the knockout round. Let's look at some of the interesting matchups here. Please go to PlaceToBeNation.com. Guys, who do you think is winning between Zach Morris and C.J. Parker?
C.J. Parker Morris from NXT?
Yeah.
That is true, my God.
Down with
Monsanto. Is that where they stole it from? That's pathetic. Anyway, he's kicking the crap out of her.
Which is ironic because Zach had an episode that was about environmentalism.
Yeah. Oh, close race here. Actually, it's not. Oh, pulled away. Carlton Banks has pulled ahead of Desmond from Lost. Nobody's a Lost fan that that looks at PlayStation Nation.com.
I voted for Desmond.
I rooted for all the Luke.
Come on, everybody. Root for Data. Root for Data.
Who's he up against?
Frank Costanza.
Frank Costanza, and he's getting hammered.
Yeah,
let me tell you something right now. And I love all of my cohorts on PlayStation Nation, but if the final four is going to be four guys from Seinfeld, what a freaking waste.
Yeah, I'm already done with this tournament when I was informed today that there's no Friday Night Lights characters.
Yeah, Coach Taylor losing. Let me tell you something. Coach Taylor, did Jax from Sons of Anarchy make it? He better have.
Nah, he didn't.
Oh, for Jesus sakes. What is it, just the entire Seinfeld show?
Well, no, what we've seen with the voting so far is that the Place to Be Nation patrons that visit the site, comedy holds a huge competitive advantage because most
exactly
of your
right.
dramatic. I think everybody watched The Simpsons, right? But not everybody watched Deadwood. So, like, Al Saarinen, absolutely great, transcendent character, but he didn't make it to the knockout round. Coach Taylor, same situation.
Yeah. Don Draper.
Scott, we got to go start our own NIT.
Yeah,
elsewhere.
NIT of cool shows.
Yeah.
TIG.
I'll write in Mr. Horace from Ren and Stimpy.
Pig and Happy and oh my God, Sophia is losing to Sideshow Bob.
Yeah, that's a travesty of justice.
It is a travesty of all levels. That's worse than Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
You're seeing a lot of 80s and 90s bias too. Yeah,
Sophia from the Golden Girls, the Brock Lesnar of this tournament to you, Scott?
No, Sideshow Bob is the Brock Lesnar of this tournament.
She has
every member of the goddamn Costanza family is the Brock Lesnar of this tournament.
True, because, you know, Sideshow Bob, he wasn't on every episode. He only come in, worked the occasional episode, get the big paycheck. Ugh. Always
Where's
had that Krusty do his promos for him.
Where's Julia?
Another bald Jewish guy.
Archie Bunker, comfortably ahead of Angus MacGyver.
That was a tough one.
Who do you think's winning, Michael Bluth from Arrested Development or House?
No, it's all that.
House gotta be Michael Bluth, right?
House is up at the moment. House is up 43-39.
You're telling me comedy has a competitive advantage, Campbell, but Michael Bluth can't beat House?
Thank you. Fuck that depressing asshole. Comedy.
Rachel Green is beating Bender by 14 votes.
I mean, Tim the Toolman Taylor is beating the Doctor by 37 votes. So
wow, there is definitely an anti-Lost bias because when John Locke is losing to Barney Fife.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. Barney Fife.
He's Chad's uncle.
Yeah. Steve, you beat me to it.
It's Scott's cousin.
Mind you, Barney Fife's only up one vote. It's 42-41. So anyway.
Wait, no. I'm sorry. Don Knotts is Scott's cousin, not Barney Fife.
That was another tough one.
Anyway,
tough
go to PlayStation.com and definitely vote in the World Cup of TV Characters Tournament, even if you are not Ben Morse. All right, guys, I got some bad news for you. I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is we're going to continue this discussion we've been talking about the roster and these issues at SummerSlam. The bad news is my original plan was I can't believe I'm about to, and this is not even a joke. I was actually serious about this. This is not like me pulling the rug out from anybody. Considering the situation that Total Nonstop Action is in, I was going to do what we did like we did with NXT and with the WWE and go through the NXT roster and go pick up the major guys and future, no future. But since NXT is technically sort of on life support, I don't want to jump into that yet. I'll wait until we feel we are definitely kicking dirt in their face. So we're going to hold off on that. But we will do that in a future episode.
I hope we don't.
Not
because I don't want to do it, but because I hope TNA pulls out. Just on the strength of their NYC tapings, and because I never want to see anyone lose jobs.
And I would either, Ben.
But are they going to do that with every? But what are they going to stay at Hammerstein forever? They're going to go to another venue, and the shows are going
to
suck.
I want to do that. More, I'm just saying I don't want to see the company go away when it seems like they're actually on the cusp of figuring out a decent creative direction. But more than that, I think it's healthier for there to be another company.
Oh, it's always good to have. It's all
and I would forward people to the high spot that Steve wrote because I think he made a great point that it's so weird that even though the TNA has not been the best alternative, especially in recent years, it just seems like there's this weird overt obsession to watch TNA fail more than any other non-WWE entity in the history of pro wrestling when the fact is we need TNA on that wall. Because we need something.
I'll tell you exactly what the issue is, guys. We need a wrestling person running it. That's what it is. The issue with Dixie Carter is not that she's a bad person. She has no idea what she's doing. Period.
That
Vince and Stephanie and Triple H, you can criticize them all you want, but at least they have a clue. She is an idiot. Pure and simple.
There's only two ways that could happen. Number one, TNA goes to another TV deal with a network that allows them to have the wrestlers or wrestling minds run it, or Global Force actually becomes a popular alternative and Jeff Jarrett runs the company.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, I hope if they take one thing out of the NYC tapings is that they were a success and the people booking them were Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer. And honestly...
Did you say Tommy Dreamer, Ben? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer were booking the primary... were basically booking the NYC tapings, and those are guys who had the opportunity to learn under Paul Heyman, had the opportunity to learn under Vince McMahon. At one point, they wanted Dreamer to take over Jim Ross's job in WWE. You could do a lot worse than...
Tommy has his own promotion, House of Hardcore.
So yeah. I can deal with that direction, Ben. I trust both those guys. I definitely trust Tommy. I trust Bully Ray. Both guys pretty much kept, at least for the last couple of years in ECW, Paul from completely drowning.
But Scott, let's be honest, though. Despite all the people that have been running TNA under Dixie all this time, who is more to blame, though? Is it Dixie or is it Spike? Because when you put TV execs into that mind frame of we need you to do what would be preferred in order to pop ratings, it does force your product to desaturate and become
true. Spike is not USA when Bonnie Hammer was running USA.
Oh, Bonnie Hammer's awesome.
And she let Vince pretty much do carte blanche. I mean, Bonnie Hammer let... Hunter and Sean do that ridiculously awesome DX press conference where we can't say shit, bitch, douche, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it was great. And the bleeping was what actually made it funnier. So anyway, my whole point is I would like to do it with the TNA roster, but I want to hold off and see what the next month and a half, 2 months holds for what the deal is with TNA. But we will do what we did with the roster, what we did with, NXT and WWE.
And real quick, too, if you are a wrestling fan, and obviously you are if you're listening to this show, watch Impact over the next few weeks because who knows, maybe it will make a microscopic difference in the ratings. And you know what? I watched last week and it was a damn good show and I'd put it up against any Raw that I've watched over the last few weeks.
Last week's Impact was very, very good.
From Raw's have
top stuff. To bottom. Yeah. Great.
It's kind of like Major League when the owner tries to relocate the Indians and they start doing well out of spite. Yep. It's almost like TNA's situation right now. It's Spike.
Oh, and incidentally,
I would love if Eric Young started coming out the Wild Thing.
Well, they have a naked cutout of Dixie.
She has a nice body. I will give her that.
They remove a piece of clothing every time.
Well, you're gonna see that body go through a table.
Yeah.
There is an awesome Hardy's Dudley's match coming up. I think I don't know exactly when. It's in the next couple of weeks that I got to see live. That was honestly as good as any match I've seen between those two teams ever.
The one I saw with the Hardys and the Wolves was excellent.
Yeah, that was really good. That was last week. That was great.
So anyway, we will get more into TNA in the next couple shows when we kind of figure out what footing they're on right now. I don't want to see companies go down either. I really don't. I hate Vince Russo. And the fact that they were hiding his employment and all, it's just so bush league. Yeah. I don't know. The whole business structure of that company, maybe even more than the creative part, needs to be addressed. Yeah. And I'm not a Bobby Lashley guy, to be honest with you. He's kind of like Brock Lesnar light in that aspect. I do like MVP, but I haven't watched enough to really... I think losing AJ was a big... Almost more than losing Hogan... Although everyone says, like, in terms of trying to pimp the company, losing Hogan was a big deal. I think losing AJ, who was almost like the soul and the essence of that company, was a big deal.
And losing Sting was a big blow, too.
And losing Sting was a big deal, too. All right. Let's continue on about this SummerSlam card, because we obviously aren't going to have a show next week when we normally would have a build. We'll definitely talk about the show, post-show, on our next episode. why are we caring so much? I think the other reason I'm upset, besides the Brock Cena stuff, is why have the last of all the feuds that are building up to next Sunday in LA, why were the last segments of both these shows about Stephanie and Brie?
Jordan Duncan is screaming at his whatever device he's listening to on this right now.
Yeah.
I have a theory, but
why? Well, I know why, because it's Stephanie. Duh, that's easy. That's the easy explanation. But, I mean, is this supposed to be an extension of keeping Daniel Bryan in everybody's mindset?
Exactly.
Is that the whole point?
Yeah, yes. I think that's exactly what it is. They want to keep Yes Movement versus the Authority alive in a very, very weird, slutty conduit. And the only way they can do it is through Stephanie and Brie feuding.
Did you just say slutty conduit? I never thought I'd hear those two words go together.
Hey, I'm good.
That's not
going
to be the new name of the Ascension when they come to the main roster.
That's actually the name.
Here's Connor and Victor, the Slutty Conduits.
That's my username on Craigslist. You have to look me up. Slutty Conduit.
I already blocked you.
Hashtag Dixie Slutty Conduit. All right. Ben, what are your thoughts on this feud? And why in the last 2 weeks have they like put it on all the prime holes in the Raw format?
Honestly, why they're putting in the prime holes, all the things you guys may have said something, but hey, man, scoreboard doesn't lie. This storyline is over. Crowds are going crazy for it. Like, when they had Stephanie get carted out by the police, that reaction was insane. Brie has done terrible, terrible interviews, and she's more over than half the roster. The fact is they're putting this in there because there's not a lot of heat when they have Roman Reigns and Randy Orton out there. They would be the logical choice to be out there. But I think also, at the same time, it allows it. So if they had Orton and Reigns out there, if they had Ambrose and Rollins out there, I think people would be going, well, wait a minute. They'd be thinking a lot more about the stuff you said in the first segment, Scott. Mm-hmm. They'd be thinking a lot more about why Cena and Brock aren't there. But when you have Stephanie and Brie out there, no one's thinking, why aren't Cena and Brock out there? You know? I don't think it. I don't think it highlights the lack of the main event as much as having some of the other guys out there. So honestly, yeah, I would look back to your rant at the beginning of the show to answer it, and then also the fact that the crowds seem into it.
Mm. What do you think, Chad?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of shocking, but honestly, like looking over the SummerSlam card, that may be my number three most anticipated match. Probably is right now going in. And, I mean, Stephanie, I think we can all say Stephanie's been pretty fantastic this year, which is absolutely astonishing considering mm-hmm. how annoying she was as an on-air talent for a lot of her run.
Yeah.
And really, in a lot of ways, she's carrying Brie because I don't think the emotional impact of her being arrested and the other stuff they've done would have resonated as well if she hadn't have really sold it as well as she did. So, I mean, as a third, fourth match from the top on a SummerSlam card, I have no problem with it. It kind of being the ending segment overall is at least different. So I can give them credit points for that. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Willie?
My fear is, it's anticipated in terms of how the storyline has gone, especially the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. My fear is eventually we have to get to the payoff, and how is that going to look in the ring when they have that fight? I'm assuming it's going to have to be booked, you know, like a complete schmoz with lots of interference.
Well, there's a rumor that Triple H Triple H is going to be the guest ref. I don't know if that makes it any better or any worse, but
well, will there be boy shorts worn?
Oh, you mean you think he'll borrow Shawn's shorts from Judgment Day 2000? I don't think it'd fit.
It might be the first time ever Triple H is in the ring with somebody that he can't get over on. That's Stephanie McMahon.
I know. She's going to get over on him. I'm a blood McMahon.
That has been noticeable the last few weeks that she's the one getting more of the heat than he is. He's taken a bit of a backseat.
Yeah, because the storyline involving him involves a guy who's not there.
Right.
Thank you.
Sorry.
And in terms of being on the mic, like, you know, it was really pronounced during the contract signing where Stephanie was, you know, really brought the emotion, and you could see in Brie's eyes, like, okay, now I have to recite this line. Pause. Next line. You know, just going back to memorizing, you know, that script reading, which is
it's really annoying. And it really, for me, you can tell who's doing it and who's not, who's allowed to be free and speak, and who has to stick to the script.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Side note, if Stephanie McMahon comes out wearing shorts like she did on Monday, you know that she's either going to beat someone up or take a bump.
Yeah.
It's the only time she does it.
She had to do the pedigree, obviously. So. Yeah.
Yeah. She came out at the beginning of the night, and I said, oh, she's either going to get beat up, she's going to beat someone up.
Yeah. Actually, Ben, you're talking. Go ahead. Go make your point.
No, I already went. That was It is Rich's turn.
Oh, okay.
I never thought I'd say that, but there you go.
Rich?
Well, I hope I speak on behalf of Jordan Duncan, who despises Stephanie. But Stephanie overperforming over the last few months does not make me want to watch her more. It actually makes me want to watch her less, because even though she's doing more, like, you know, she did the whole thing with Vicky Guerrero where she's like covered in slop or pudding or whatever the hell that was, and doing all these different
sweet
angles.
Sweet poopies.
That's what I'm worried about.
Overdoing it where she's going to have to keep going with Brie Bella while Daniel Bryan's injured. And it doesn't make me want to watch Stephanie more. It doesn't make me want to be more invested in the authority because Stephanie's involved and taking bumps instead of Triple H. It's actually something that I would be less desired to see. Mm-hmm. I would rather have Triple H be the guy out there getting his ass kicked by the Shield, or by John Cena, or by whoever it is the case may be that he's feuding with, even if the storyline doesn't make sense, because I think that's more of a signifier of defying the authority than just making poopy jokes and saying bad, meany things about Stephanie McMahon. I just don't really care for her at all, and even though she's been performing a lot and doing a lot more overt stuff, I don't think that makes... I wouldn't say that she's carrying anything. If she might be carrying the feud with Brie Bella, but that's like carrying shit to a garbage can. You know, I mean, who really cares? Mm.
Shit to a garbage can. Interesting. Do you have an Oculus mirror in your house, Reesh?
No, but Adam Rose does.
And you know who Adam Reesh sees? Adam Reesh. You know, is that your brother? Adam Reesh.
You know who Adam Rose is, a soft-spoken,
quiet guy.
You know who Adam Rose sees? He sees Karen Gillan, who is also stars in Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
In theaters now.
Amy Pond. Ding. Amy Pond. You know who Reesh sees in the mirror? Ben Morse. I see
Detlef Schrempf.
Detlef Schrempf. Chad, is this storyline taking away from AJ and Paige, which is the feud that probably should get more attention?
This might be controversial, but I haven't been crazy about Paige since her call-up. I thought she's floundered a good bit in everything she's tried to do. I haven't been too enthused. I did like AJ coming back and kind of doing the same thing to her that happened to AJ the night after WrestleMania. But I mean, I think there's clearly more heat on the Stephanie Brie situation right now. Whether that's kind of the crowd living vicariously through Daniel Bryan or not remains to be seen. But there definitely seems like there's more of a vendetta in that feud to me than AJ and Paige.
Okay. Ben?
Number one, Chad, I don't think that's that controversial opinion. I think Paige is definitely underperformed since coming up. I think a lot of people think that, whether it's her fault or whether it's the booking's fault. I don't think you're alone there. I actually think AJ and Paige have gotten a decent little feud. It's different. It reminds me very much of Trish Stratus, Mickey James, but it's working. It's got more of a storyline than any Divas feud we've seen in a while. And I don't consider, I don't know. I think there's room for this and Stephanie Brie on it. I think Stephanie Brie is very storyline heavy, very character heavy. Not to say that Paige AJ isn't, but Paige AJ is more of a competitive, you know, wrestling rivalry. There is a title on the line. There is a physical match that's going to take place. So I don't think one needs to cancel out the other, and I don't think it does.
Okay. Reesh?
You know, I would almost call it an under-the-radar feud, even though I think this is one of those rare times where I think the writers have actually kind of gotten it right, where they've paced the storyline just about the way that you would expect it. even though Paige's face run fizzled out a little quicker than expected, I think Paige has done better as a heel and is more comfortable in her own skin than she was when she had been given the title, basically walking into the main roster. So I think she's in a better comfort zone as a heel now, and AJ Lee has definitely improved as a wrestler a little bit over the last couple of months since she's come back. And I don't know what kind of match they're capable of having. Can they have like a match like Trish and Victoria had at Survivor Series where they just pummel the shit out of each other and really like top themselves? I don't know if they're capable of doing something like that, but I know they're capable of doing better what Stephanie and Brie Bella can do. Now, can they convey the emotion out of the crowd the way that Stephanie and Brie have? Time will tell. But I think this is like your classic under-the-radar feud. Mm.
Willie, did I ask you? No, not yet. Willie, go ahead.
Oh, you did. Oh, with AJ and Paige, though, I think that Paige has floundered a bit since she came up, and I think she just sees the big crowd and is a little, she has all the tools, but I think she's just not, doesn't have the self-confidence yet, and being with AJ could eventually help that. AJ and Paige, I want to see their ending. I want to see what they're building up to, whereas Stephanie and Brie, as I mentioned before, you know, I really don't want to see it.
Make it stop.
Yeah, like, it's okay on Raw, but, like, eventually it's going to lead to a match, and, yeah, just not interested in that at all. The crowd is really behind it, and I guess good for them. It has, you know, I don't know. I don't want to talk about this much longer, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Okay. So, there's you know, obviously we are not going to talk before the show, so we've gotten a little bit of a preview here. I think Bray Wyatt will beat Chris Jericho. That's pretty clear. Sure. Roman Reigns is going to beat Orton. The card, for the most part, is fairly predictable. I don't think we're going to have to sweat much.
I'm a little disappointed with how flat the Reigns-Orton thing has gone on to be.
It's because nobody gives a crap about Orton. He's a jerk. And I think the stories that are in the press about, A, what he did with this fan, and, B, the fact that he's allegedly torpedoing matches with Reigns is I think, souring people on him. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant. Once you read it, a lot of times in wrestling fans' eyes, it sticks in your head. And nobody cares. And nobody cares about Kane either. Oh, Roman Reigns is stuck with these guys nobody cares about.
Well, Kane took off his mask again.
Yeah, maybe we'll never see
it. It's almost like the Big Show heel turn.
Yeah. And many of them. And of course, now we have what? Ambrose and Rollins. And I guess if you see the spoilers, I guess he picked a lumberjack match for SummerSlam. Is that what I heard? Yeah. That was in the spoilers? I think so.
And when has there ever been a good lumberjack match?
Well, it's Dean Ambrose, so anything with him could
be. These guys
are
awesome. Both of them are good. Rollins is great, too. I think they're great in-ring technicians. I just don't understand why they would, unless they're trying to make up for those WrestleMania paychecks that apparently everyone was stiffed on. They got to get everyone on this show as well. I just don't get it. There's so many steps that would lend itself well to this feud, whether it's a street fight or, you know, yeah, tables match or false count anywhere or anything.
I thought I heard Ben the payouts were good.
Yeah, that's what everyone said eventually. I was more just trying to find a justification for why they did get a good
payout. What happened is that the check came a lot later than they expected.
Yes, much later. Yes, that's true. All right, let's go around the horn a bit. Check some news stories, because a lot of interesting things I've read today that I'm curious. Definitely curious to hear all your guys' input on. This first story really makes me happy because it involves two part-time guys. As noted, Brock Lesnar is scheduled for this Monday's Raw. You'd hope so. And he's slated for the night after. That might be a sign that he wins Sunday. I don't know. Hogan is, of course, supposed to be on this week. They're in Portland, Oregon, because it's his birthday and there's the NWO thing that they're supposed to do or whatever. There was some talk this week of possibly doing an angle with Hogan and Lesnar on next week's show. Of course, it was, 12 years ago, right before this SummerSlam, when Brock beat the snot out of him and then rubbed his blood on his chest. Chad, do we care?
No. Well, Hogan, ever since he came back, he's kind of gotten some diminishing returns with his with his appearance. I actually heard, so I guess, yeah, they're doing the Hogan birthday bash or whatever. Yeah. I actually heard a neat theory on another podcast I was listening to today. It's called Shake Them Ropes. I'll give them a plug. And they said this would be a place where Sting could debut unannounced to come out at Hogan's birthday bash. That'd be a good cool. spot for him. I thought that, I think that would be honestly more productive than, I mean, we've seen Brock kick his ass once. I don't need to see it again.
Yeah, I don't think they should do any kind of an angle. I mean, there's only one angle a part-time guy can handle, you know.
Well, do you remember that huge magnitude when Brock Lesnar broke Shawn Michaels' arm right before SummerSlam 2012?
Yes.
Pop.
Yeah, nothing happened. So that's why Brock doing anything with Hogan wouldn't even give even the slightest rub to make the match even any bigger than it already is. I don't think it makes much of a difference.
And the best stuff Hogan's done since he came back, just like when he came back in 2002, is when he's working with the younger guys. It's the novelty of seeing him with guys like Cesaro or Daniel Bryan. I'd much rather see him do something with, you know, Roman Reigns. No, not The Miz. Never The Miz.
Jesus.
He already did.
Hey, throw him in there with Ziggler. Have him do something with Ziggler. That'd be cool. Mm. I don't know. I'd like to see him give the rub to a younger guy who could actually use it.
Mm. I agree.
I just hope this episode's not as bad as The Rock's birthday in 2011. That is one of the worst episodes of Raw I've ever seen.
Is that the Fruity Pebbles?
That was the night after Extreme Rules in 2011 when they celebrated his birthday in Miami. And it was fucking terrible.
I don't remember that. Maybe that's why it was so terrible.
You don't want to remember it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, next. There's been notes of how the talk of social media lately has been WWE's new Paul Heyman DVD, which, as I mentioned, came out at the time we're recording, yesterday, Tuesday. Within WWE, expectations are very high, and some believe it'll outsell Punk's DVD from 2 years ago. Punk's DVD was okay. But I've heard this Heyman documentary is incredible. It was said this week that the NXT Tag Team Champions, The Ascension, continue to be at the top of the list of developmental talents that are close to being called up to the main roster. Ben, is there a reason why is it smart that they have not been called up yet? Is there a pause? We talked about this, I think, a couple shows ago.
Right.
A pause in the NXT roster because of the Paige and Adam Rose and, my opinion, Bo Dallas. But, do you think it's been smart to hold them off? Because I'm sorry, they're freaking awesome.
Yeah,
and I think they'd be a boost for the division. But has it been smart to hold them back?
I think so, because I think within a team like the Ascension, you only get one shot at this. They need to debut as monsters. They need to debut at just the right time. You can't bring them in and have them do what they've been doing in wrestling squash matches and do whatever. I think they need to come in and make an impact right away. So I think they're waiting. Maybe a long time, but I think it makes sense. It's not like them sticking around NXT is hurting them any. They just stay super over there, and more people get to see them on the network. And I think I think Adam Rose is the prime example of Adam Rose really wasn't on NXT for that long as Adam Rose. He was on for like a couple months. Oh my God, he's super over. Get him up to the main roster. And it didn't work out because they didn't have any plans for him. They just thought, he's over, let's get him up. With the Ascension, if they don't have any good plans for them right now, let them stay in NXT. Once they have the right angle, once they have a good way to debut them, bring them up. Don't rush it. These guys are good. They're special. They can be a big asset for the division, but don't just bring them up because you can.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating that you bring that up, though, about all the post-WrestleMania NXT call-ups, because the fact that really, if you look at all of them, from Adam Rose to Bo Dallas to Paige, you could really make the argument that maybe outside of Bo Dallas, that none of them have worked out. Maybe the early bird doesn't always get the worm. It doesn't, just because you get up there quicker, like Ben Moore said about Adam Rose, just because you're hot to trot for on angle wise doesn't mean you're going to get over. And if you don't get over with an angle as loopy as Adam Rose is, you could be dead in a heartbeat.
Do you like Ben that he just said your first and last name like you weren't even here? Remember that guy Ben Moore said that thing about something about the exotic Oculus or whatever?
It's like Rob Lowe. What's the name of his character in Parks and Recreation?
Chris Prager.
Yeah,
Chris Traeger.
Chris Traeger, and he points and he says Ann Perkins.
Andrew Reich.
Ben Morris.
I love it. Where are all the Parks and Rec characters on this friggin' contest? Well, there's my pick to upset all the Seinfelders, and that's, of course, my man, Oh my God, his name just escaped my head.
Ron Swanson?
Thank you.
And don't forget Andy Dwyer, portrayed by Chris Pratt, who stars in
Marvel's your favorite movie in the history of the freaking world, Guardians of the freaking Galaxy.
Okay, Ben.
You're making me not like it, Reesh, if you keep talking about it.
Yeah, Reesh, maybe we don't need you pitching this, actually.
No, by the way, Andy Dwyer is an idiot.
For real, watch that movie. It's that good.
Ron Swanson is Thanos. That'd be awesome.
Thanos with a mustache?
Hell yeah.
That'd be
drinking scotch.
Pretty good.
Eating every piece of every egg and every slice of bacon in the universe.
Thanos has a lumberjack in the forest.
I saw actually someone, you know, crossing realms here. Someone did some fan art of all the Parks and Rec characters as all the Guardians of the Galaxy characters. It was awesome.
That'd be tremendous.
It was great.
That sounds right. Weird.
Another note here. As of speaking of tag teams, as of this past Monday, there is a plan to do a three-way for the tag straps next Sunday. The Usos, Rowan and Harper, and the Dusts.
Is that official?
Okay. No. But I'm game for that. What does everyone think of the Dusts? Tell me that Cody is freaking awesome. Stardust might be the best new character of 2014. Better than maybe even half the NXT guys. Chad, do you like Stardust?
Thumbs down.
Ooh.
Oh, come on. Been awesome.
I do like the character work they're doing. I think they're adding legs onto the tag team as a whole, which any reason to keep Goldust on my screen, I will happily take. In ring, I don't think they've necessarily had that showcase match together since he's become Stardust, where they can really shine and have kind of the top-end type matches they were having when he was just Cody Rhodes. So hopefully if that triple threat does happen, that'll be a good opportunity for them to shine. I'm fine with the character.
You got to give Cody some credit at Stardust, though, for this reason, though, Chad. And this is all in – the character's been great. But in ring, he does not do any of the same moves he did as Cody Rhodes as Stardust. Even the littlest things he did, he puts little tweaks on. Like, he doesn't do, and even as recently as this Monday, like, he stopped using the gold dust, like, drop to the mat and punch, and now he does the drop to the mat and kick. He changed all his mannerisms. He changed all his moves. He doesn't use crossroads. He modified the disaster kick into, like, a springboard clothesline instead of a kick. I'm blown away by the little touches that Cody has put into making Stardust different than Cody Rhodes, and he's crazy over. You listen to those crowds just when he like gets up on the ropes. It's nuts. I love Stardust.
You know how Cody Rhodes reminds me a little ways of Randy Orton and The Rock? He's very, very smooth. Everything, he makes it look very easy when he transitions all of his moves. I don't think anybody really does it as well as he does.
I just think it's been even just the cutting of the promos has been pretty impressive.
Yeah, I like the backstage promos. I mean, Cody is so dedicated to his craft, and one thing that, I mean, Cody, I listened to his interview, him and Dustin's interview with Jericho today, and you really want to cheer for Cody just because he is a student and a fan first. Like, his knowledge and knowing automatically what happened on this day, you can tell he's just been like a lifelong wrestling fan. So very easy to cheer for when you hear him kind of in the real world talking about his wrestling experiences.
It kind of bums me out that I feel like he'll never be world champion ever.
That's the thing. You're never going to be champion as Stardust.
I couldn't. Certainly not in that gimmick, but even in anything that happens after Stardust.
I always thought without the two titles he would eventually get the world title at least. And it kind of, I feel like he's a guy who slipped through the cracks, like we were talking about earlier. Like, he should have been a much bigger star than he was. And I think even now, he's still pretty young. But that's what I was about to say.
He's not like Dolph Ziggler. His window hasn't closed yet.
I don't know. I hope not.
No. I hope he's not either.
He's only 29, so.
But Chad makes a good point, though, about Cody Rhodes. When you think of Cody Rhodes, where does Stardust go, like, on his resume? Like, when you think of Cody Rhodes, do you automatically think of Stardust, or is he like the dude loved to Mick Foley's career? Like, was it just something that he did?
Yeah, I think it'll be an antidote, but
if it's that low on the totem pole, then I mean, it's a good distraction, but it's not something that you might want to keep going on and on and on with. But
I
want to
hear, Steve's opinion just because I miss Steve's voice.
I conked out here for a second. accidentally,
you fell asleep while Reese was talking. What's the matter with you?
I loved the Stardust character, and I haven't seen enough of him on Raw yet. I've missed a couple episodes to see how much he's changed in ring, as Ben has said. But it's so fun to see them together having a blast. And I was worried at kind of around WrestleMania when they had such hot matches and it looked like they were going to be headed towards a split and we weren't going to be seeing that anymore. And to see them back together, I'd like to see them get past Rybacksel. So if this rumored match is happening, I mean, Goldust has been fighting Rybacksel every single week for a couple months now.
God, haven't they broken up yet? It's like, Jesus.
Yeah, there's the team we want to see break up and go away forever.
They're kind of like Milli Vanilli. They'll never break up.
I hope it's short-lived.
One's dead, Reach.
Unless somebody says they're not really doing their own moves.
they're only dead in your mind, Ben.
No, Benjamin. One is literally dead. Yes, sorry. Go on.
No, yes. Yeah, Reach, he's sorry. Really. I'm Rob dead. Pilatus, he...
Hate to be the one to break. I never thought that we'd break this to you on the main event.
Yeah, way to ruin this show. Yes. Benjamin, why did Bo Dallas lose to Archer?
Man, I don't know. It was it was like the Undertaker's streak ending all over again.
Oh, would you knock it off?
It was terrible.
You're such a schlub.
The crowd
to a part-time guy like R-Truth.
Yeah. He is part-time at this point. Man, I don't know. Whatever. Bo Dallas bounced back, right back. He still gets reactions when he comes out. He just amuses the hell out of me, Scott. I don't know. I don't know why you're not getting into it.
I will say this, Ben. I would rather have Bo Dallas facing John Cena at SummerSlam.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Bold statement.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to either.
Oh, man, he went for the Bo joke again, Scott. No, you know what? Him losing the truth is actually kind of funny. And that's the whole point of Bo Dallas. Bo Dallas is ironically funny.
Yeah.
Steve, just talk. You don't have to say anything in particular. Just talk.
And tonight is the
inner musings of Steve Willie.
They're all over the place.
It's been a long time since I've heard...
It's dark.
It's a long time since I've heard Steve say, let's talk the things. You know, there's also a discussion about Nikki Bella wearing tops that are just too tight. Which is why
that's how Johnny Boy likes it, buddy.
Wardrobe malfunction. He's like Triple H. Go out with somebody. 6 months later, get big boobs. Kind of like Triple H. All right. There is a story that I see here about morale, and I kind of intertwined it into my rant earlier in the show. It has been reported online. There are a lot of heat or resentment on Brock Lesnar for being a part-timer that gets another major push. It was said by a source that this is the case, and it could turn an interesting story if he ends up winning on Sunday. It's also said morale continues to be lower than normal, and that is because of Brock.
Shouldn't be heat on Brock Lesnar. It's not his fault he's coming back, is it? Like I said before.
Well, what's the roster going to do? Boycott the show? I mean, they're not going to do that. I mean, they're going to eat their shit and take it, but I still don't like what direction it's going in if that's what they're going to do.
You know what it is, Steve? I agree with you. You're right. He's lucky enough that the company gave him this ridiculously bad Hulk Hogan WCW-ish contract, and he took it because he's not an idiot. I agree with you on that. It just makes me sick.
Yeah, you'd rather have it be somewhere else.
Yeah. But in any event,
like me,
let's see what happens after Sunday. Sunday night's a big night. So, also been reported WWE's plans for both Rollins and Ambrose, Rusev for Swagger to be gimmick matches. We already know that, of course, Rollins and Ambrose is, a lumberjack match. Has Rusev and Swagger officially been considered a, flag match? Okay. Of course, Roman Reigns. Talk about a guy who's been taking some shots, huh? He had a huge gash over his eye from Randy Orton on that Scotland trip. What was it, April? Then he got six staples in his head from Kane whacking him with stairs. Talk about dues paying, huh? Yikes.
Something Ambrose, too. He's had a couple busts, too.
Yeah, and I love Ambrose, but is his shoulder healthy yet, or are we going to have the shoulder thing for the next? It's going to be
like Bob DDP, where he looks like a mummy.
You know what's coming up soon, guys? Is I can't believe they didn't come up with a better name for this. NXT TakeOver 2.
Seriously.
Boo. Really? Already? We've run out of caring about NXT. We can't come up with another name.
Clash of the Champions.
It sounds like the title to a rap album.
The next three... Speaking of... this is off Lords of Pain. The next three on NXT's... On the list of NXT call-ups. The Ascension, of course. Charlotte. And Kalisto.
No.
Do we really need another Sin Cara?
We'll see, but... I mean, very talented. I just don't have high hopes.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is that they need someone to team up with the other lost member while the other one is injured.
I don't know, guys. I got higher hopes than that. I think they've been trying to fill this Rey Mysterio spot desperately. If you watch NXT or if you saw him on the indies, Kalisto's good. He's no Sin Cara. He gets it, and he knows how to work WWE style. I think that could actually be, because they don't need him to be a world champion, and because they don't need him to be a character like Adam Rose, I think Kalisto could, because the expectations are lower, I think he could end up being a decent call.
And my three-year-old thinks he's really cool.
Yeah, there's that.
There's rumors of having Bayley, who I cannot
stand. Oh, my God, I hate her.
Beat Charlotte for the women's title at that TakeOver 2 show, so sets up Charlotte going. She's barely been on the roster, what, like 3 months?
Charlotte? Well, she's been training for over a year, I think. I think she's been under contract at least since last summer.
She's been on the roster for a while. She wasn't in the ring.
You see, they had all that announcement of her releases with a lot of those NXT guys, but the fact is they have a lot of guys that are still developmental-wise under contract, still in the performance center getting ready. So when a lot of these guys leave after TakeOver 2, be it The Ascension or Charlotte or even Sami Zayn, they've got a lot of guys that they're ready to either sign wholesale out of the indies or that they've been training in the performance center to just take their place.
Sami Callihan's still not on TV, right?
Right. Yeah.
Have you seen?
Yeah.
Speaking of performance center. Thank you for reminding me, Rish. What do you guys think of this whole idea about this like VIP, almost like fantasy, like Major League Fantasy camp, where you can go down to the performance center and meet people and cut promos? And I don't know if you actually get in the ring and get the crap beat out of you. I don't know if it's just hanging out there. Or what are your guys' thoughts on that? You think people would go?
A lot of liability lawsuits ready to happen.
You know how much they may charge for that? $7,000.
I could imagine for a fan, it'd be very, very nerve-wracking to go there and actually
that's
meet
a, that's
them.
More expensive. That's actually more expensive than a week at fantasy camp, like Mets fantasy camp, Yankee fan. Those are usually like, I don't know, $3,500. $7,000. You get like autographs. You hang out in the performance center. Maybe you go to NXT tapings, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm shocked at that number.
And God help us if the fantasy camp actually involves these people getting into the ring and trying to wrestle, because there's so much risk there.
Yeah, it must just be like going there.
Football, when they do like NFL cares and stuff, they just play 360 or play 60, whatever they call it. They just like catch the ball and they do like run routes. Like if you take a backdrop in fantasy camp WWE and you land on your neck, I mean. It could be a disaster. So I don't know what they're actually going to let them do if they go to the performance center to take tours.
What do you mean them? We're going. We're going to have a live podcast from there.
Like the supporters at Summer League.
Yeah, and this is a good reminder to go on theplacetobenation.com and click the Amazon link and buy about 1,000 copies. Pre-order Guardians of the Galaxy 3D Blu-ray.
Yep. Should be out in time for Christmas.
So you made both Ben Morris and Brad Woodling smile at the same time, Steve. Yeah. That is why you
Steve
were at
it. Steve and I are getting our Winnebago, and we're taking that drive right down there to Florida. Yeah.
I would kill for a live main event from NXT. I think we could do NXT. We're better than those guys.
Ooh, not Regal.
Steve Willey and William Regal.
I would. Regal on one side, Renee on the other, I'd be ready to go.
We're better than Mojo Rawley, that's for sure.
Reese, you'd be his tag team partner.
That'd be great.
I would never be able
to. You and Mojo Rawley, baby.
I'll never be able to stay hyped, though. I can get hyped. I can't stay.
Are you kidding me? You stay hyped more
you
than
you are. You are Mojo Rawley, yeah.
You are.
It's like Viagra. The Mojo you Rawley get hyped, but you can't stay hyped.
4 hours of hype?
No.
A lot of side effects right. to getting hyped.
Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure. We are out of time. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Benjamin, you will not be with us.
No, I'm sorry. I basically become a part-time guy.
You're actually on less than... there was a stretch where Steve Willey was never on. And
might as well call this the Brian Chad show.
Ben is merely a hired gun. He's a mercenary.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I just keep coming on for my limited dates, and when I do, I get treated like a main eventer.
That's right. No one right. I don't believe in you anymore. No. So, Chad, do you think I can get Parv to do this at 5 o'clock in the morning? What do you think?
Well, you know, Scott, I can't do Parv.
Well, you know, brother, damn it. Let's talk about DiBiase. Who's got the coolest tuxedo?
Yeah, Parv is such a big fan of the current product. Oh, he would be a blast on these shows.
You get Dylan on too, man.
Yeah, him and Dylan.
Oh, lovely.
Him, Dylan, and Will would be a great time.
And then Scott, you'd be all
Zorro's shots. That'd be great. Oh, well. Anyway, Chad Campbell, thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you on. We'll definitely have you back on again soon. Guys, we'll be back in a couple weeks. Willie, you'll be back. Reesh. And Shepherd Duncan will return. I wonder what animals were not left on the ark. And we'll see who will join, who will sit in Mr. Morse's seat in 2 weeks. But it's been a good show, and we'll be back in a couple weeks for Ben Morse, Andrew Reesh, and Steve Willey, Chad Campbell. I'm Scott Criscolo. This is not NXT TakeOver 2. It's the main event. Talk to you in a couple.
I can't believe you broke that news to me about Millie Vanilli, you bastards.
Shut up, Reesh.